Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Hey, Peter Welch, let's talk about college affordability. Some colleges, some private colleges, are now charging $60,000 a year in tuition. Now, not everybody, but a lot of them are. And so how does a parent do that, number one? And number two, is there sort of a new segregation? You got money, you go to one of the private schools. If you don't have money, you go to a state school, and even the state schools are going up in tuition.
Well, we're creating a two-tiered society. I mean, education is absolutely essential to the future of our country, and obviously essential to the future prospects of our young people. And when it gets so expensive that there's no way you can afford it, and where even if you get some grants and aid from the college you're going to, and Stafford loans and Pell grants, our kids graduate and they're having these record amounts of debt. You know, it's over $1 trillion in student debt right now. They start out with this financial of albatross. Yeah, it's like they have a mortgage on a home, and that just is not right. And it has a real negative impact on them. It's very, very tough. It's tough on their parents, too. They've got a lot of anxiety, but also parents who thought they had a lot of equity in their home and maybe were ready to retire and take that cruise and take the first three-week vacation in their life. Suddenly, they're finding that they've got to refinance their home. They're paying a mortgage all over again to help their kids go to college. So that's simply not sustainable. And I've got legislation in that would give colleges flexibility to get some relief from some of the regulatory burdens they say that cost them money. But in exchange for that, advocate for them to come up with some innovative ways that would help bring down the cost of tuition. You know, if we just continue with this approach where tuition goes up every time we provide a new dollar of grant or a loan, then it doesn't leave the kids or the parents in any better condition. So the tuition has to stabilize and hopefully even maybe go down. And how can we do that? As I mentioned, some regulatory relief might be helpful. That's what the college presidents tell me. But the other is we've got to ask them to use their management ability to remodel some of the things that we do.
Like, well, what's the appetite on the Republican side for this kind of reform that you're espousing in the minority?
They would be supportive of some of these things. The regulatory relief, definitely, and I think the flexibility. And here's what I mean about flexibility. Should law school be 3 years or 2 years? Mm. College, if you have kids that are going to school in a high school, can they take college credits in a local college and possibly graduate in 3 or 3.5 years to really bring down significantly the cost of their total education? So these are some of the things where we've got to get some creativity and energy by our educational administrators. We need them to be energetic about stabilizing the cost of tuition. I mean, $60,000 a year is not affordable.
Now, Peter, when you say regulatory changes that will help the colleges, can you give us some examples of what some of them might be?
Well, the student aid applications are really complicated. And one of the things that I was advocating was that of parents having to fill out all kinds of information on a long questionnaire about their finances, they could simply assign us a release so that their IRS returns would be available immediately and electronically to answer those questions. There are a lot of compliance costs that the college administrators come up with about scientific labs, reporting on grants, a lot of things where if we review them, they could probably be streamlined. But what the college folks tell me is that in order to do compliance, they have to hire a number of people that add to the cost of administration, but don't do anything for instruction. So what we're proposing in our legislation is to get a committee that includes the college administrators and the folks from the Department of Education to basically do a top-down review of those regulations, pick out the ones that we don't need. Pick out the ones that could be adjusted where we get the outcome we want without the expense that we don't need.
Talk to me a little bit about, we've only got about 4 minutes left, but tax reform. I think most Americans think that the system now is really sort of unfair. We see the biggest corporations in some case paying no taxes whatsoever, while the middle class pays through the nose. What do you think might be done?
We do need tax reform. The code is incredibly complicated, and it is unfair. You know, if you're a person who works and you get paid a wage, weekly wage, hourly wage, or a salary, you don't have any deductions to speak of. And if you're a corporation, you can manipulate the system, park your profits offshore. You can do lots of things where you end up paying no taxes or in some cases actually get money back even though you made a lot of money. So that isn't right. And some corporations pay up to 30-35%, but a lot pay nothing. So there should be much more uniformity in the code. And most people agree, Republicans and Democrats, that a simpler, flatter tax code, you know, where it's a lot less hassle to fill out and figure out, with lower rates and fewer exemptions, is the way to go. The biggest challenge, there's two big challenges. One is, how do you do this with corporations that have a lot of powerful lobbyists trying to keep the special situation that they have? And then secondly, this is an ongoing budget battle. Will we use some revenues that we can get from tax reform to start adjusting, to start fixing our roads and bridges, to start helping kids with the cost of education, to do things that invest in scientific research? These are things that have all been woefully neglected. And a country to continue and build in prosperity has to invest in its future. These are being neglected. And, you know, tax reform is stalled to some extent because some of us think that we want that to help us get revenues to invest in things I mentioned, and others want it to just lower tax, personal tax rates for the high end.
What do you think the outlook is?
You know, I'll be optimistic and say it's 50-50. But all of us, I think, have to get through the aftermath of this terrible shutdown and default. But my hope is that there's going to be a realization on the Republican leadership, Mr. Boehner, that one thing that's in their interest to do is to find common ground with those of us on the Democratic side who want to be pragmatic and progressive and get things done for the American people.
I got a minute and a half. Isn't it, though, that it comes down to the Democrats want to have a little bit more in terms of equality, and the Republicans who are in charge, I don't want to make it too simplistic, are generally on the side of big business and those who have the most money?
Well, I mean, that's a fair characterization, but there's things that we could do that would make sense for everybody. Let me give an example. I mean, immigration reform is really important for the country, and big business wants immigration reform. Farmers in Vermont want immigration reform. That's just something that's good across the board. There's a big battle on the Republican side. Some folks in districts, no matter how you design it, no matter how much you have as a burden for somebody who's here that wants to get to citizenship, you know, pay their taxes, get square with the law, learn English, they won't do it. And that's something that would be good for the country, from small business to big business. Another example, energy policy, big debate. You know, a lot of us on the Democratic side really believe climate change is a wicked problem. It has to be addressed. A lot of my Republican colleagues don't. They deny the existence of climate change. But both sides agree that energy efficiency is a really good thing. You know, even if you're a carbon fuel oil person, if you use less, you save money. And I've got bipartisan legislation that would do significant things to allow us to use less energy, and in the process, put people to work. The products you buy to insulate your home, those are 95% manufactured in this country. So there's common things that we could do where we just don't have to stare at each other because one side is, quote, big business and the other side is small business.
You make a lot of sense. Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont, at large, in office since 2007. Peter, I always love it when you come and talk to us and give us your perspective. It's very important to all of us, and we very much appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.